Educate client on estate planning process and tools. Before estate planning, clients will need to learn what the process actually involves and the tools available to them to ensure their assets after death are transferred to their designated heirs. In all cases, a counselor's responsibility is to educate only. Estate planning should always be done with the assistance of a relevant professional, either an attorney or CPA. By providing this information, though, a counselor can help prepare a client for when they execute their estate plan. Primary estate planning processes and tools include wills, probate, life insurance, beneficiary designation, trusts, gifts. Any account with a beneficiary designation will direct the funds to that beneficiary, regardless of anything stated in a will or a trust. Wills, probably the best known tool for estate planning, is a will defined as a legal document that outlines how a person's assets should be distributed after death. A will is an extremely important part of estate planning, and clients should be encouraged not to put off getting one drawn up with the help of an attorney who specializes in estate planning. Counselors should recommend to any client over the age of 18 that they get a will created. Even if they do not have dependents, a spouse, children, a will can provide instructions for remaining survivors so they know the decedent's wishes. A will needs to be a comprehensive legal document that clearly expresses the person's wishes and instructions. Wills typically include a variety of pieces of information, as shown in Exhibit 3-17. Exhibit 3-17, contents of a will. In order for a will to be considered valid, it must be signed in front of witnesses who must also sign the document. A properly validated will is less likely to be contested. One exception may be a holographic will, which is a handwritten will signed by the person making the will. The key requirement for a holographic will is that it must be entirely handwritten and signed by the testator, the person making the will. Unlike a traditional will, which often requires the signatures of witnesses, holographic wills are valid even if they are not witnessed. If a holographic will is recognized by the client's state of residence, this type of will can be a great start for a client who is not yet ready to involve an attorney or who is not yet in a financial position to pay for a legally drafted will. After it has been drawn up, a will should be kept in a safe, fireproof location and one that the executor has access to. If the executor is an accountant or attorney, they may keep it in a locked storage in their office. Different states have their own rules regarding wills and inheritance. Therefore, a counselor should explain to a client who relocates to a different state that they may need to update or alter their will to reflect the laws and regulations of their new home state. The counselor should suggest meeting with an attorney to ensure that an existing will is in compliance with local laws and make any changes as necessary. A will should also be periodically reviewed and updated to reflect a client's changing life situation, for example, if they get married, divorced, remarried, have children, and so forth. Certain changes can be added in the form of a codicil, but for major changes, it might be better to draw up an entirely new will again with the help of a professional. Intestate is defined as the condition in which a person dies without a valid will. What happens to a client's assets if they die intestate? In this circumstance, the administration and distribution of a person's assets fall under state law. Every state has its own laws governing intestate situations. Probate. Approximately a third of Americans have experienced some form of conflict related to the execution of a will or trust, or the lack thereof. After a death, the decedent's estate typically has to go through probate, which is defined as the legal process through which a deceased person's estate is administered, including validating a will, settling debts, and distributing remaining assets. In terms of debt, there are a variety of situations in which a decedent's debts outlive them, and it is the executor's responsibility to fulfill any relevant debt obligations, including final taxes. In the case of other debts, it will depend on who is legally the debtor. Cosigned loans. The surviving cosigner becomes responsible for the debt, example mortgage, car payments. Co-owned credit cards. The surviving cardholder becomes responsible for the debt. Community property. In states with community property laws, a spouse is responsible for existing debts. Independently held debt. Creditors can try to claim against a debtor's estate during probate. This includes private student loans and medical debts. Estate planning tools can ensure asset transfers bypass probate. However, many estates still go through probate. Probate is a public record. Any client wishing to bypass probate should consult with an attorney specializing in estate planning. If a will exists, probate confirms and acts upon the wishes of the deceased, as well as providing an opportunity to settle any challenges or disputes, should there be any. Probate also allows for real property assets, like vehicles or real estate, to be retitled in the name of the beneficiary. Probate can be expensive and slow. For example, there are multiple fees that need to be covered, legal, executor, and court costs. If a will is complex or if there are challenges to the will, the process can be drawn out and end up costing even more. As has already been indicated, there are some assets that are non-probate assets, which are defined as assets that pass directly to a beneficiary upon the owner's death without going through the probate process. These are assets that will be distributed automatically according to a contract. The most common forms of non-probate assets are life insurance, investment accounts, and payable on death accounts, but another type is JTWROS. Payable on death, POD, is defined as a designation on a bank account that allows the funds to transfer directly to a named beneficiary when the account holder dies, avoiding probate. Joint tenancy with right of survivorship, JTWROS, is defined as a form of shared property ownership or insurance contract that allows one owner's share to automatically pass to the surviving owners after they die. This contract has two or more individuals who are equal owners of a property, example a home and slash or insurance contracts, and all named owners have an equal right of survivorship. This is a common arrangement between spouses. Depending on state laws, a spouse often has a legal right to their partner's estate. Clients should be reminded to always check their home state's particular laws and regulations. The same is not always true for unmarried couples. When preparing their estate plan, clients who are part of an unmarried couple should be advised to seek additional legal advice about who is entitled to what based on different states' inheritance laws. Life insurance. Term life and permanent life insurance plans can provide a death benefit to beneficiaries. Term life insurance. Term life insurance will pay out a death benefit if the insured dies within a predefined period of time, usually a set number of years. This type of insurance is most commonly used by individuals who are younger and less likely to die, so the policies are more affordable. Permanent life insurance, example whole life insurance. This type of insurance is for those who know they want a death benefit. As long as premiums are paid, a death benefit is guaranteed no matter when someone dies. As a result, the premiums are higher. Permanent life insurance policies have a cash value, how much someone can get if they sell their policy back. Insured individuals can borrow against this cash value, sometimes at a lower interest rate than they would be able to get for a personal loan. If the loan is not paid back before the insurer dies, it will be repaid from the death benefit, with the remainder going to the beneficiary. In both cases, the death benefit payment received from life insurance policies is tax-free and bypasses probate, so survivors do not have to worry about delays in receiving it. Life insurance can also cover final expenses, that is, funeral and burial costs. Having these covered can provide some security to a client's surviving family members. Trusts. Another valuable estate planning tool is a trust, which is defined as a legal arrangement where assets are held by one party, the trustee, for the benefit of another party, the beneficiary. The person who creates this legal arrangement is the grantor. Trusts are more complicated and complex than wills. Almost all kinds of assets can be placed in a trust. Money, insurance policies, securities, and property, including houses and cars. Trusts can take effect during a grantor's lifetime or after their death. A trust can be created for a number of reasons, for example, to bypass probate, manage assets for children, help fund education costs, or manage property for disabled elders and adults. Because they are legal instruments, a trust must be set up with the help of an experienced attorney. Some key terminology relevant to trusts. Grantor. An individual or entity that creates and transfers assets into a trust. The grantor establishes the terms and conditions under which the trust operates and designates beneficiaries to receive the assets. Trustee. An individual or institution appointed to manage and administer the assets placed in a trust. Beneficiary. An individual or entity designated in a will, trust, or insurance policy to receive assets, benefits, or insurance payouts from a financial account or policy. Payouts will exclude any fees, debts, and taxes that are due. A counselor can educate their clients on what a trust is and the basic trust terminology. Should a client be interested in establishing a trust, the counselor should refer them to an attorney who specializes in estate planning and trusts. Gifts. A gift is a transfer of assets before someone dies and is a great way of providing for loved ones while you are still alive. There can be tax implications for financial gifts, though. A counselor should advise any client thinking of giving a large financial gift to speak to a tax professional to understand any potential tax and tax reporting implications. Three exemptions from gift taxes that a counselor can educate their clients about include: there is no gift-giving limit between spouses, education expenses, tuition, etc., paid directly to an educational institution are exempt. medical expenses paid directly to a medical facility or provider are exempt. In addition to gift taxes, a client should be made aware of federal and state estate/inheritance taxes. Though these taxes will likely only affect higher net worth individuals, it can still be useful to educate clients about them. Any client who wants to learn more about these taxes and how they might affect their estates should be referred to a tax professional, for example, a CPA.